Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Saturday night version of a health, energy, and science show. I know you want me to do the hydrogen amplifier. I know you do. Anyway, we had Peter Kulish on last night. It was a great show. Of course, it was videoed. You can actually go watch it now on my archives. You can actually see the show, part of it anyway. And we are going to have a great, we're going to talk from New York tonight, October 7th, and then we're going to bump up to Seattle exactly 12 years earlier, see what we had to say then. So this should be a fun evening. Hope everybody's having a good time out there, and we're about ready to rock and roll. By the way, last night's topic was about the amazing minimum of 15%, maximum of 30% gas mileage increase that we're discovering on all forms of cars. We talked about model numbers. We've got them in dealerships now. It's a device that costs $300. It's easy to position on your car. It doesn't take an expensive installation. You probably do it yourself. Yeah, it's just a kind of like a snap-in-place special system using magnets and other energizers on the fuel system and the water and the oil, and it takes maybe half an hour, maybe 15 minutes to half an hour, depending on your car, put it in. It works on all cars, exotics, small ones, everything. It works on everything. So you can call 1-800-729-2603 to find out about that, the gas mileage increaser. And they're still working on our gas tank. I think we might be coming along on that. Anyway, here we go. We're going to roll.
Here
have
some stuff. This is when I worked at NASA. I used to build these things. All right, this is one that we built. This was that's the Apollo rocket ship, and that's the second stage of the Saturn rocket to lift the Apollo off the ground. And I worked on the Apollo, which is another division of NASA. It was Space and Information Division at Rockwell, and then I used to sit in all the Apollos at night. It was fun. To switch all the switches and play astronaut, you know. Those things didn't have much room in them. And this is what lifted the ship off the ground. I mean, this is the second stage. The first stage was built over at Rocketdyne at Santa Susana with an F1 engine, had 5 million pounds of thrust, five engines.
Do you have a
I got what I got here. I don't know, there's one over there maybe. And okay. Now, those of you probably know that I was a contactee. I have some interesting pictures here that I'll share with you as we start out. This was over in Laguna Beach. And this is an old car that I had of a Corvette. Let me give it my. Oh, jeez. These wires. I like wireless. Get this thing, maybe it'll work. Yeah, this is hot. That's what you want, right? You guys don't want to hear me, do you? This is worse than my recording sessions. Grief. This was an interesting picture because when my Pleiadian contacts stopped in 1989 after 22 years, I wasn't really into any more contact stuff. I've had enough of it. I know a lot of people would love to be a contactee. To me, it was just another form of interference, but I guess it was necessary. So I was having a contact one morning with gum on the table here. A contact one morning with Liara. She was from the Andromeda. Andromedans are the ones that brought us the holographic projector and those different kinds of systems that we have now downstairs on the booth. All the new stuff. And this is back a ways. This is an old Corvette I had. And we're up on a government place. In Laguna Beach, we live on one hill, and then there's another hill about 2 or 3 miles away the government sort of took over and put a ton of antennas up, and they load the radiation that we get off of that place is ridiculous. I had to develop a device called a flamethrower just to keep the radiation out of the house. So anyway, this morning I'm going out, and Liara says to me, bring your camera, because just at the very end of the Pleiadian context, because Billy Myers wasn't very communicative with his pictures, I decided to take my own pictures. And so I started doing that. And in this particular day, I was not really feeling like a photo session, so I just grabbed a Polaroid. I didn't think much was going to happen. So I got in the car and drove up, and you can see the sun shining right here, right down on there, and right down on there. That's one of the fenders sticking up in that picture. Then, the next one, the ship is coming in right here. The sun is still there and reflecting the same, and here comes an Andromedan ship right there. That's a disc. And then in the next picture, it came right over in front. Hello. There it is. There it is right there. Okay, that's an Andromedan ship, and the lady that flew that, her name was Liara. And she was my contact lady up until the present. And you can still see the sun over here shining there on the steering wheel, and the sun right up here shining also on the right fender. So that was interesting, that little contact we had there. If I had a better camera, I'd have got a better picture, but I wasn't in the mood to do photos that day. I guess I was too moody, who knows. Let's see, after that, that same spot, about a week later, I went up at night to do a photo session. And this sign just suddenly was put up. Basically, no trespassing. We will use special force. It's like Area 51 by my house. The sign is still there. So this is typically what would happen, you know, in the different areas where I would have contact. Once I'd have two or three contacts there, signs like this appeared, and I'd be kicked out, right? This was El Morro Bay, earlier with the 35mm camera when she came down. And right up there is the ship. Now it's 35mm, it's a distance, that's the ocean right there. It's out at a distance. And the next picture, right here, is that the right one? I think so, yeah. The ship came up from the horizon, and there you can see it. Interesting thing, it's kind of a phallic-looking ship. As you can see, it has a very high dome on the top of the disc, and that's the typical characteristic of this type of Andromedan ship. Their motherships are quite a bit larger, typically a mile or so across. I have a website called www.raysoftruth.tv. It's in the flyers. On there, I have some recent NASA photographs taken from the space shuttle. I think it was STS-117 or 116 mission. And looking down on the Earth, and a 10-mile-long streamer had been cut loose from the spaceship, from the new satellites, space station they're building. And so it had gone down. It gradually was floating down towards the Earth. It wasn't gravity. It was just floating that way. And on this video on the RaysOfTruth.tv website, you'll see about 50 Andromedan motherships, each about a mile across. And they're very clear. Then I have another little... as I worked for NASA, it was always never a straight answer. Okay, that's what NASA means, never a straight answer. And all the retired astronauts now are all freaking out because they won't talk about this stuff anymore. So anyhow, I have another video on that website where a NASA official is trying to explain what these mile across 50 or so motherships are. And you really have to see that explanation that he puts up that's on the video so that you can have yourself one heck of a laugh. Because when you realize how these government administrative officials talk down to the world, it's like there is a need for assassins on this planet sometimes. Okay? Yeah. It's ridiculous. It is a joke. Now, since I've been here, I did some remote viewing for an agency. First was December 18th, 2000. And, 2001, right after the World Trade Center was false flagged. And they wanted me to track bin Laden. Okay, so I tracked bin Laden for them. He left Tora Bora and went up through what's called the Hindustani Mountains up into a place called the Shembe, right after, you know, the World Trade Center thing. And he stayed in the Shembe for a while. And the Shembe is an interesting town. It's a drug dealer's town. It's an old 2,000-year-old heroin run. So no CIA or NSA people could get up in there because everybody in the drug trade is over 2,000 years old, knows everybody else. So then I tracked him up across into the Gobi Desert. He went up to the Gobi Sea, crossed the Gobi Sea into a remote part of China, and went underwent healing, acupuncture. I drew a picture of the building that he was in, the temple that he was in. I drew a picture of the room that he was in and the fireplace next to his bed. I gave it to the proper people in the intelligence to use this kind of stuff. After that, he stayed there for 3 months, and in March the following year, he went up to Laos. In Laos, you know, it's like a salesman goes out and deals with his reps. The reps get active in that territory when the sales manager shows up. So while he was in Laos, he orchestrated, if you look at the geography, you'll see that the Philippines are right below there, straight down on the ocean. If you look at March, the year after the following spring, you'll see there was a lot of terrorist activity down in the Philippines. So as time went on, I was asked to do another thing, and that was, I had actually done some training of some people, and I taught them how to, what we call street tracking, where if we're going after someone, right down the highway, it's just like the Indians track, you know, an animal or a wounded something or other through the brush. I taught some agencies how to track on the street, and I had a group working for me. It was called Task Force 20, and they tracked, this was during the second Iraq invasion, we tracked the owner of a building in Fallujah into Syria and arrested him. They interrogated him and they found out where Uday and Kustay was. And so as a result of this tracking exercise, Uday and Kustay had a little bit of an encounter, which I'm sure you've heard of. They were blown to bits, but they were offered a chance to surrender. And I think this thing is screwing up because it's not gotten the power properly. And that was a real interesting experience. That's kind of some of the stuff that I got involved with, since I've been here. Then they offered me a job at the farm training people, and I said, no. I said, paradigm to me is a lot more important than, paradigm is a lot more important than doing what I used to do 35, 40 years ago. So that's kind of some of the stuff I was into. Then I got a call from I call the evil one's office, Dick Cheney, and they congratulated me for my efforts, in which case they offered me a job at the farm. The farm is in Virginia, training people, and I passed on that. So even though I don't do this anymore, I did do a little bit of it again for a little while. And that's some of the stuff I've been doing. Okay? Also, we have been, make sure this is on now. It's a low battery thing. Go away. I gotta get a battery for this computer. I've been developing a lot of new stuff. Okay? And one of the new things that we developed, which I've been wearing, I took it off from the show, it was detoxing me a little fast, was that facilidome I had on. And I wanted to explain something about, these pyramids that we have. Because I'm finding them quite necessary to be used again, to be brought back into the, you know, auspices of our society. Even though, you know, you've got to remember something about Paradigm. We started this company, where we started was back in 1974, basically. And I had, working with Dr. Joey Couture in Newport Beach, California. And in the process of working with him, he asked me, I was actually employed by a pyramid company called Pyramid Power 5, and I went over there because I didn't know what to do with myself after having been a rocket scientist, having had a big corporation selling equipment to classified places. I had 3,000 different clients that I called on all over the United States for many years. After having this crazy life, I just didn't want any more to do with it. I was done. And so anyway, I went to work for Pyramid Power 5, and we had a pyramid science kit. And it consisted of a little red box with a wooden pyramid in it that you assembled. It had a compass, and it had two little plastic things, little tanks that you would put brine shrimp in. And one group of brine shrimp went under this little pyramid, which was aligned to the north with a compass, and it proceeded to live on forever. And the other group of shrimp was put in a 10 or 20 feet away from this little wooden pyramid, and they would all die in 6 to 8 weeks. They'd hatch, their little eggs, they'd hatch, little shrimp and fly around, swim around and die. That's where I was started, okay? It all started there. The only thing I knew about pyramids in those days is there was one in Egypt, and maybe some king had built it. I didn't know anything about this stuff. It was all brand new. So some other people were more advanced than I was, and I was marketing these kits to these big May company and Macy's and all of that. And the doctor came up to me and he said, "We did some testing for the pyramid, kinesiology on the human body, and we found that when we lay somebody flat and put their arms up and use John Thies' method of looking for nutritional imbalances, that anywhere we put this pyramid, if it's aligned to the north, on this person, they don't have a nutritional imbalance. They have a full balanced system. We don't know why this works, so we need a pyramid that's, we don't have to line it up anymore." So I said, "Okay. Let me see what I can do." And I went into metals. We were making a zinc-coated metal pyramid at Pyramid Power 5. And I started looking at molecular structures and stuff, and I realized that gold was an octahedron. No wonder everybody loves it, and it's a pyramid, all the molecules. So I coated a pyramid with gold, 24-karat gold, which I still do today. And that produced our first product, a pyridome. That went to a clinic in Newport Beach. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't have my degree in homeopathic medicine at all then. I didn't know, I knew what vitamins were. That was about it. And Gary started putting them on everybody's heads. And that's how they started going on the head. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. And pretty much the whole history of this company has been predicated on other people's experiences on things that I've developed or co-developed. Okay? And what happened in those days, the market for that product was the Valium addict, which was the American housewife, back in the early 70s. Taking people off of Valium was quite a job. A lot of them would die. It's a pretty rugged drug when you've been taking as much as they took to get the calming that they were supposed to get, and then the anger that followed, so they had to get off of it. So that's how the whole thing started. A little later on, Gary came to me and he said, "These bracelets are over in Japan. And they seem to do something with arthritis. And arthritis is a low-frequency bone disorder in the center of the bones where blood is produced in the first place." He says, "Why don't you take a pyramid and put copper on it? We'll have an arthritis, answer." So I said, "Fine." So I took a gold pyramid, I put copper on it, took it to him, and proceeded to check it out, and guess what? It didn't work. It didn't do a darn thing. It didn't even do the other pyramid thing anymore. It was ruined. So I don't know why it didn't work. No idea. And I made 100 of them. So I took the 100 of them and stuck them in a corner of my house, stored them, because in those days we operated out of a garage, and let them sit for about 6 to 8 weeks. After 6 to 8 weeks, I saw these little, looked like freckles. All these copper-plated pyramids had freckles all over them. And what had happened is the orgone effect, which I know now, didn't know then, hindsight's great in this business, had made a little hole that actually dissolved the plating on the structure of the pyramid. So I took one of these freckled pyramids down to Gary, and I says, "Test it now and see what it does." And he tested it, and he says, "Not only does this stuff strong, it's much stronger than the gold one he used to make." And so that became the beginning of the plating process. we went another level, and I finally figured out that metals do have a vibratory effect on the body, certain metals. So I wanted to put a white metal over the copper, okay, and do the same thing. And I decided to try rhodium, platinum. I tried every white metal I get my hands on. Finally, one of the platers suggested, why don't you just try silver? It's the simplest one. So I put silver on, and we came up with a product that was known as the radome. Well, meanwhile, we had to set these things in huge piles, and wait forever, and that was like the curing process. Well, that wasn't working. So one night, I was standing over the stove holding the thing, one of the pyramids, and I dropped it into the stove, one of the ones that just been plated, and I noticed that when it got in the flame, it made a rainbow effect across the plating surface. And so that became our heat process. We no longer had to pickle the pyramids. We could now have a heat process. And we began to do that. Later on, and this was verified by Dr. Emoto, we wanted to change the base metal of the pyramids. It was plated with exotic metals, but now we wanted to change the base metal. So we went to titanium. And the reason we went to titanium is I was doing my string theory studies at that time and realized that titanium had the same molecular structure as the Pope blessing water. This was later triple verified by Dr. Emoto in Japan when he would take water and he'd put hate vibes into it and put love vibes into it, and then he'd have somebody bless it, and then freeze it and look at the molecular structure, and the blessing of the water looked exactly, once again, like the titanium structure. So that became the power dome. And we used those, we made those for, I don't know, up from 1979 up until about a year ago. Finally, we began to develop a new one that became known as the Chrysalidome. And it was based on studies that I had done back with Lawrence Kennedy and Uri Geller when we were doing spoon bending and teaching people how to manipulate metal with their minds and levitate things, that we made. We took some Virginia Beach sand, because Edgar Cayce said that Virginia Beach sand in your present had psychoactive properties, and allow people to enhance their clairvoyant properties by quite a bit. So we took a pyramid years ago, and we plated it. We covered one of our power domes with Virginia Beach sand, and it worked incredibly well. Finally, we decided to take it to another level, and it took a while to develop a process. We took the power dome to a level, and we coated it with diamonds. And now that's our new product, our newest thing. It's called the Chrysalidome. It's completely like nothing you've ever experienced until you put it on. That's the new. That's the evolution of an amazing thing. It's brand new, and I guarantee you it's one fun product. Now, this is very important. What I find, especially in our society today, with the problem of all of these Tamiflu, Effexor, all of these drugs that are being put out right now, if you've taken those, you have a lasting dose of angel dust in your system, because they're made up of piperidine, cyclohexane. Yeah. Pretty much all of them. All prescriptions. Okay. What these do is they, just as alcohol will give you a temporary numbing of the brain for a period of time, these new psychoactive, and most of them are made, the ingredients come from a company called Searle, which, of course, is run by Donald Rumsfeld. That's what he's doing now, since he's not, in defense anymore. He's making drugs so he can kill you guys. And the drugs work the same way as alcohol. You sit down, you drink alcohol, a small amount, and you feel on top of the world, and you can go home, and you shouldn't drink anymore. But pretty soon you are drinking more, and you go home, and you get arrested for a DUI, and you sat down, and you darn well, and you're not even an alcoholic. You shouldn't have that second glass of wine, because that led to the third. Well, these drugs do the same thing. They work on the same exact parts of the brain as alcohol, except it's a permanent freeze. Okay? And as a result, if you remember people being arrested on angel dust, they have superhuman strength, right? Because you're able to focus all of your energy into the muscular system, and it's complete direct contact of the chi force, temporarily drug-induced. So what happens is now, when you look at the side effects that are printed on the labels, the little paper that comes with it, of Effexor and Xanax and Vicodin and all these other drugs, a lot of them have what's called homicidal ideation as a side effect. Okay, pretty common. That means that after you've taken it long enough, You're not going to be brave and do it, get yourself a DUI. You're going to get brave and you're going to kill yourself and you're going to take somebody with you. Okay? And that's what we see in our society. Or you're going to drown your kids. All right? Like Andrew Yates did. Not only have I worked in the drug industry against this, I worked with a lady named Dr. Ann Tracy, who was in, testified in the Andrew Yates trial. She was at Columbine. You know, I was at Columbine. I had Mark Taylor on my show, my radio show. He was shot by Eric Harris 12 times. I've been into the school systems, and I've seen this, and I've worked with people on these drugs. And what happens is, if you don't get off of them, it's a permanent destruction, and you will do something stupid eventually. To make sure, now there's two kinds of drinkers of alcohol. There's one that's a happy drunk, right? There's the other one that's very vindictive and destructive and dangerous, okay? Well, the same thing with these drugs. There's persons that are probably going to be somewhat domicile on them, and some of you are going to get pretty aggressive. But what they do now, what is done now, is with the use of special spy satellites, once you're on the drug program, Surly, defense minister, get the relationship, they start putting out what we call reptilian frequencies to make sure that you'll become homicidal and suicidal, okay? A little assurance. And that's how these drugs work. And if you think I'm kidding, prove me wrong. Because all you're going to do, talk to the experts that really are new age and doctors and PhDs, and you're going to find I'm 100% right, not even missing a beat on this one. And it's getting worse. And so when these dastardly acts take place, then what happens is, well, they arrest people, put them in jail, and there goes some more constitutional freedom, right? Just a form of fascism. It's what Hitler did. It's what Mussolini did. It's what Stalin did. It's happening now. Read Naomi Wolf's book. She's a Rhodes Scholar. She ran Clinton's campaign when he ran for president. Very smart lady. I'm going to have her on my show. The End of America. It's out there. Okay? So, first thing you got to do if you're taking any of this stuff, you got to get it out of your system. All right? That's why we need the Crystallodome. Because these other stuff I made wasn't strong enough. Because when these drugs go into your brain, they don't come out. You can go on all the fasts you want, and it's not going to do a bit of good. Okay? There's only one way to do it, and that's to use what we call a force of energy, a very powerful force of energy, and make that whole system vibrate, and it's a quantum field that has to be produced at the site of the chemical. And that quantum field has to dissolve that and send that particle on the way and restore the brain to normalcy. Okay? Very important to understand this stuff. Now, how does this work in the body? When you breathe in lung, this is one of my old slides. I had to go back to this. I've got much more modern things that I've done. But I had to go back to this old one here the other day, until I get something better. But when you breathe in air, okay, large arteries going up to the base of the brain. Okay, up the trachea, up to the and what happens is large amounts of air and oxygen come up to the base of the brain, very large arteries. When it gets up to the base of the brain, the arterial size reduces itself to a millionth of an inch. Okay, now this is every bit of air that you breathe going to your brain first. It's reduced to a millionth of an inch, an area called the circle of Willis, okay, Willis network. The base of the brain is called the cerebellum. The first thing that happens over a period of time now is that people can't stand on one foot. You start losing your balance. You can no longer, like we used to play hopscotch, we bounce around and we go sideways. The next thing that happens with these toxins that are going in from the air and other forms of toxins in the body coming up from the liver that don't detox, it all ends up going through the brain. Even if it comes out through the liver and it's a drug, it goes to the brain. Gets into the midbrain, shuts down an endocrine function over a period of a lifetime. In case of drugs, much quicker. As it shuts down the endocrine function, what happens is your body can no longer metabolize or digest or assimilate properly. First thing that goes is your trace mineral assimilation, which you probably don't have anyway, which wipes out the parasympathetic nervous system, which causes depression. So now you go get your drugs, all right? Then you end up getting all kinds of allergy problems. And I'm allergic to this, but I wasn't when I was younger, you know. And then we go from allergies to Parkinson's disease, which we call forebrain diseases, and Alzheimer's and things like that. That's how it works. When you where we use one of these vibrating pyramids that we make, it detoxes that, it puts a field up, it goes into the DNA structure and starts releasing all of these toxins. When this happens, you know, if you've got 30, 40, 50 years of toxins coming out of your brain, you're prone to get a headache, okay, because the liver now goes into overdrive, and you get a headache. So you take the pyramid off, drink water, take vitamin C, take trace minerals, and start the process over again. What typically happens if somebody hasn't smoked in 10 years, this is very common, but did smoke a lot, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, after about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of doing this, when they urinate, it looks like an ashtray and smells like an ashtray. Okay? After 10 years. How do I know? I was the first one to do it. After I got through, because when I worked at NASA building that spaceship, the last year and a half, I worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, including the holidays. We got Christmas off. That was one day off for a year and a half straight. I didn't know what the sun was. If you wanted a vacation, you started going to midnight to noon, you went at noon to midnight. That was your vacation. And I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for that period of time. I haven't smoked since. And it was Lucky Strike and Camels. They didn't have filters. And I was the perfect example of a walking ashtray.
Well, that's a lot of fun.
Now what we'll do is we will
go ahead and
the other part in,
and we'll have a little bit more here to say, a little bit more.
Self to your personality, not vice versa. Everything they pretty much teach in all the books you'll buy at this bookstore about chakras is not correct. It's outdated information. The idea of that was to establish the fact there are colors, there are vibrations, there are chakras. But most of that information is not correct. Okay. Any questions on what we're covering now? Now I'm going to demonstrate one of the nuclear receptors here to show you how you can, most of you saw it earlier, but some of you didn't. So for those that didn't, so I get more into the technology. And we have somebody up here that wasn't, yeah, you come up if you want. You want to be, huh?
About colors of the day.
The what now?
The colors of the day.
The colors of the day? Where is it listed? There's no book that I know of on Earth that lists that. There's bits and pieces of it in some books. In my tape series, I've listed it. More information like that is coming. I wrote Death of Ignorance, a book I sold out of. You can order it 20 years ago. It had that information in then as it is today in the static. It didn't have the dynamic side of it. I'm writing a new book called Birth, a New Beginning, which will have the static side to it. But I'm also doing getting a lot of information on the DNA right now. Yeah. But we'll get to them, you know, a little at a time. Yeah, I'll talk about it. It's coming. But let me have somebody up here that doesn't know me for muscle testing. Okay, you can come up. This is a precursing device now. It's better to see it work, so you'll listen better, you know, the way I look at it. I always listen better when I see something work. Okay, put your hand straight out now. I don't want to get chocolate over. Just one. Okay, now make a fist. Okay, now put your arm up. Now resist when I push down. Resist. That's your strength, right? I'm a little tired today. Now, we're going to fix you right up here. This is glue. It's very strong. It's very poisonous, very toxic, and deadly. You got to be over 18 to even buy the stuff. You know, see the skeletons? Okay, take that. Put the arm back out. And now you can breathe it. I want you to take a whiff of that. Put it up to your nose. Resist. Is that it? Resist. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Okay. Okay. Now, put this thing on. Put that on. Okay. You got your yin and yang symbol on. That's kind of cute. Okay, now hold that. Put your arm out. Make a fist. Now breathe it now. Resist. Resist. Yeah, you're doing a lot better now. Feel the difference?
Yeah.
Not a small amount, it's a major amount, isn't it?
Yes.
That's because we're stimulating. Okay, sit down. Thank you. That what happened there is very simple. I mean, many things happen, but it's the simplest way to explain it real quick. Is this is geometry here. And the geometry, I didn't do it. God did it. But these iron atoms, as soon as you put some toxins in your system, What happens is it's like crushing a pyramid. It warps. So what happens when it warps? It loosens the what's called alpha and beta chains, which are about 700 different enzymes that are attached here. The enzymic function, because the central nucleus, you know, starts to wobble. Like if I was whirling a ball around my head in a perfect orbit, and all of a sudden I started doing that, that ball starts going like that out in the orbit. That's exactly what's happening to your oxygen supply, to your brain. And so it starts to kill you. When you put this back on, it's stabilized by frequency. The head system is stabilized, and boom, the oxygen comes in. As a matter of fact, this strengthens, because she's toxic, most people are. And she tested stronger with the glue on than she did in her initial test with nothing, okay, which is typical of most people. And because what we're doing is we're balancing the hydrogen atom. This was a device from the Pleiades. Out at the bookstore, there's a book called The Promise sitting out there. We don't have any with us, but out there in the bookstore, and you first go up the stairs on the right, you'll see The Promise, and it's a story of this and how it came here and what it does. If you want to really get into it, I reckon, or you can order the book from our number here. And it came from the Pleiades, and it's a nuclear receptor. Nuclear meaning nuclear forces. And what the Pleiadians are doing with us, and let me find my chalk now, what the Pleiadians are doing is they've taught us something, and the Andromedans are taking it a step further. They taught us that if you have your brain here and your spinal cord and you have electrolytes in here, the first order of matter, I mean, as far as electricity, now we've gone from the precursing level now. We talked about that. And we know, all of us in here know about biochemistry. We all know something, so we don't need to talk about that. We're coming down here in the middle, and we're talking about electricity, you know. If we're a medical student in college, we'd be studying electricity. We'd be learning about ionization and how cells change and how we can have positive and negative sodium atoms and change the heart frequencies and all this kind of stuff. But what we're not learning in medical school is how the electricity distributes itself through the central nervous system. Okay? Now, what happens is we have a spinal cord. We have 72,000 of these wires going through the body. Okay? And here we have the electrolytes. When the stimulus comes in, the electrolytes switch on and we have electricity flowing through the body. Okay, in a non-enlightened person, and I don't mean you have to go study in a monastery or something. Non-enlightened is pretty much a person that has no values to what they put in their body, in or out. They just don't take care of themselves. In that person, let's say their body generates 10 volts of electricity at some point during the day. That's kind of a high number. And in order to make the body work, it's got to reach the feet down here at some point. So let's say this 10 volts is generated, and eventually, through all the resistance and the crap in the body and the toxins, we get 1 volt to the feet in the morning when they get up. As the day goes by, we use 99% of our energy overcoming gravity. 99%, okay? You've probably noticed that when the astronauts come back from deep space walks and stuff, they throw them in and they won't let them walk. They carry them around. That's why. Okay, they can't walk. Okay, so we have overcoming gravity. We're producing a huge amount of what's known as lactic acid. That's spent muscle tissue. The lactic acid goes in the blood, and then it ends up going through the blood into the tissues of the nerves. And so by the end of the day, the brain has depleted itself to probably 3 volts. And that means if the brain is down to 3 volts, probably 0.01 volts, a tenth of 1 volt is reaching the feet. Okay? That's not enough electricity to process oxygen through the breath and prana into consciousness anymore. The person's going to do one thing, is drop dead on their feet, or they're going to have to lay down and go get some sleep and hopefully charge up with some rapid eye movement sleep, which I hope I'll get to today if I have time. Okay? So they have to charge up. Now, that person, if there's radiation in the area, they're so weak. They're already producing free radicals when they get up in the morning, a person like that would be, because they've gone from 10 volts to 3 volts. And so they're producing free radicals. That person is open to anything. That immune system is down. Everything is down on that person, okay? So radiation is going to affect them. So here's what the Pleiadians do. They say, okay, let's change this around. We can change this real quick. Let's put electrolytes in the brain. Let's get a program of, let's put large amounts. First of all, what gets rid of electrolytes is smog and air pollution, carbon dioxide. That's what runs electrolytes down. So let's have lots of vitamin E. Let's have lots of lecithin with it. PC lecithin is what we use. PC lecithin, vitamin E, germanium, selenium. That'll synergistically crank up B15. Let's put the whole nitrosamine family in there. B1 through B10 and then B12 through B17 in there. Let's really charge the brain. So they gave us these formulas that we work with. Then they say, okay, now we got the brain working. Let's get trace minerals in there. Let's really hop this brain up real good. Also, let's build the immune system. I forgot to even mention that one of the greatest things that we've come up with now is the immune system. Get rid of all these diseases. Colloidal silver. I wrote a manuscript on it. Colloidal silver is FDA approved. We use grapeseed extract and Augusta echinacea with that, Augustifolia, mixed in a solution here. This completely builds the immune system up, and the entire brain is firing at 220, okay, which it should be. Now we're producing probably 100 volts in the brain, okay? Then we go into programs where we use electrical precursing devices like the receptor, meditation. Exercise is good, you know, like we exercise a little bit. All these kind of things to start keeping that lactic acid going through that liver and through the kidney and the spleen and through the bladder, and so we can urinate that out, put water in our system. And by using these different precursing devices, we start changing the electrical conductivity of the nervous system itself. Okay? And when we do that, instead of having a lead wire, you know, I don't know if you know, a piece of wire made out of lead doesn't conduct very well. But copper does, right? Copper is so good, if you heat one end, you'll get burned on the other, you know. And even gold's even better, and silver is better, and platinum is one of the best things to use. So now we got a platinum system. So now we got 100 volts up here at the brain. We probably got 99.99 volts down here at the feet at the end of the day. So what happens then? Our perceptive powers have gotten up so high. Our perceptive powers are so high now that we don't care if a nuclear bomb went off in the next door house. The radiation comes in, it's just whipped right in there. You know, all radiation is high-speed electrons on one level, gamma rays, all that. So it comes in, it goes right into the aura. When Christ walked around, he could sense his aura miles away because he was balanced, he ate the right foods, and he was generating and he was healing. He healed himself. So now what happens is you don't create these free radicals anymore. The grape seed extract, pinogenol, which we use in our formula, is excellent. So we use a lot of tonics inside of this on top of it to build this up. Yeah, you have a question?
People don't have atrophy muscles and they can't move.
You bet. We use I use a milligram of octocostanol in there in my formulas. A milligram. You go down to the health food store, you pay 20 or 30 bucks, you get 5 or 90 micrograms. It's ridiculous what you buy. Unless you get, you know, you'd have to pay $500 a month to put what we put in one of our formulas for like $30 a month, $32 a month. So, I mean, it's amazing. You shoot this up. Now, well, here's what happens. Now what happens is at the base of the spine, when this process starts, at the base of the spine, the cerebrospinal fluid starts to come up. Okay, now when that comes up the, it's called the raising of the kundalini, if you look at it spiritually. But when this comes up, it triggers organs in the body into the fourth dimension. Okay? In other words, there's vitality coming into the hydrogen atom. Okay? There's a process that echinacea, Augustifolia, has in it, okay? There's two ways of getting the energy into the body. One is to eat a plant which has the sunlight in it, or eat something that's eaten the plant, and through the Krebs cycle, absorb through a great big long process, which takes 24 hours, you know, to get this energy out of the ATP, unless you eat straight sugar, for example, which creates alcohol as a side effect, to get energy in the body. Or you can go through a process called glycolysis, which is direct shot, boom. It goes from whatever it is directly into pure energy in the cells. And that's what grape seed extract will do, and that is what Augustifolia will do, echinacea. So I combined that with colloidal silver. So when you have that straight shot going right into your immune system, the electrical levels become very high. And even if there is free radical damage, now it starts to destroy it, so you can start healing things yourself. Remember this, no vitamin, no pyramid, no precursing device is going to heal you. You have to do it yourself. Make that very, very powerful statement. Anybody tells you they got something to take or to use that's going to heal you, get away from them because they got the wrong thing going. You do your own healing. These are just conduits to help your healing process do its own thing. Yeah. Oh, wheatgrass is a cleanser. It's excellent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get a big buzz out of it. Some people do. No, it's doing the same kind of thing. Sure. Yeah, it's one of many things. But don't just rely on wheatgrass, because you become a wheatgrass junkie, you know. You gotta have, it's true. Well, I've seen a lot of people like that. You gotta have the whole system going in the body to make it work, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the higher you vibrate, the more you can perceive. In other words, we have an old saying, you have to believe in order to receive, you know? Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. With the receptors, for example, there's seven colors in the rainbow. We got seven stones in the receptor. So we muscle test you for the right one. You know, we did a bunch of muscle testing after the lecture on people. And by the way, if anybody wants to check these, you got to go back and see her. Because 30 minutes, we're out of here. I'm just telling you that right now. Because we're gone. So if anybody's interested. But you get Frockabell, my wife in the back there, if you're interested in the receptor. We won't have time. We're leaving. Are you sure? Okay. Well, you know. I'm just telling you. Okay, we have to test you because everybody in here, like, here's me when I started wearing a receptor. Let me tell you about me. Let me tell you about Fred Bell. Fred Bell first put his receptor on. You know, I'm a little overweight now, but I used to be 50 pounds more. I had a bad thyroid problem, so I tested for green. I wore it for a year. Boom, I dropped my weight down. Then, in 1981, in 1981, I had a drug rehab. You know, I was doing cocaine, heroin, PCP. I used to go to UCLA and take people out of straitjackets and make them work again. So one day, I thought, well, what's this bait? What's this freebase? What is this cocaine smoking shit? I don't know what this is. So I had some in my clinic, and there's a pipe that somebody gave me. I tried some cocaine, you know. I had to try it. I was curious. I figured one little shot ain't going to hurt me. Had a heart attack. Didn't know what I was doing. I had a left bundle branch block. I lost 25% of my heart, according to the EKG, or the EEG. 25%. I destroyed 25 in one little blast. Well, now, in the 90s, we know that the freebase cocaine gives you a heart attack. But guess what? 1981, nobody knew it. Crack cocaine hadn't even been coined yet. Nobody even knew what that was. So I had to go to a sapphire. I went to a sapphire. And then my cholesterol was still screwed. My heart was screwed up. I put a sapphire on. It's a heart. I wore that for 2 years. Guess what? My cholesterol, my heart, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110 to 115 over 60. I almost lowered it too much with the sapphire. Okay. Then I had a prostate problem. I used to get up go to the damn bathroom 3 times a night. When I came out with a silver cola, I had 5 years. I had a right infection in my right testicle. For 5 years, I went to Dr. Barloon in Long Beach, world famous, does athletes and stuff. I spent $10,000 to $15,000. Took every antibiotic there was. We came up with got the research in this colloidal silver, combined it with Echinacea augustifolia, and even using it on diabetics now, in less than 3 months, I sleep all night long and don't get up to go to the bathroom. The pain I used to get, if I drink a little bit of alcohol, I just pain, you know. All that went away. So I learned by myself, I was born with polio, I have a sunken chest, you know, right from being born with polio. I was a mess, you know. I'm a triple Leo, I've got plenty of energy, but I was a mess. But I became a doctor to heal myself, you know, and I'm still not there, but I'm a hell of a lot better off now at 52 years old than I was when I was 15 or 20. I mean, well, I got 3 times the energy. This is nothing to what I'll be in a few years, and nothing to what I can be, and they're all that way. So it's not like I'm broadcasting a program, a sales pitch ever. I'm telling you, this stuff works. You know, I've seen it work. The pyramids that we don't have them with us. You wear on your head. Put them in the, you know, Sannyasi told me about the pyramids. I'll show you a diagram on those. I was fooling around with them. The Pleiadian showed me how to do the plating on them. We use the plating process. In the brain, we have, first of all, when the oxygen comes in, right, comes down in to the lungs, and the oxygen and all the filth in the air mixes in the lungs. When it comes out of the lungs, it goes up to the cerebellum. That's the path of the blood. It doesn't go to the liver. It goes lungs, brain. The cerebellum, the arterial size of the trachea, and the circle of Willis, which goes up there, are very large, big, huge arteries. As soon as you get to the cerebellum, the arterial size goes from 1/4 of an eighth of an inch to 1/1000000th of an inch.
So you got this great big pipe going to this little teeny pipe. So what happens if the fluid is dirty? The little pipe becomes a strainer, right? And it gets clogged up. So at the base of the spine, the cerebellum starts clogging up in people, which begins another part of the aging process. To the point, the cerebellum is responsible for balance. They can't stand on one foot anymore and walk backwards and forth. Remember how we used to play hopscotch? Jump around and go sideways, you know? How many of you guys can do it now without falling over, you know? I mean, trust me. So you put the pyramid on your head, starts cleaning all this out. That's why she was getting a headache. She was getting toxic. The pyramid starts cleaning all this out. All this comes out and goes down the liver, and the liver can't handle it. It's the same thing if you have too much alcohol in your body. It produces acetaldehyde, and the acetaldehyde blocks the liver, and you get a headache from alcohol or hangover. Here, you're getting it from just wearing the pyramid, so this cleans you out. So the pyramid became an important thing. With that in mind, we went to Orcutt Union School. We developed the silver pyramid, which increases that. But to Orcutt Union School in 1978 with the radome. The receptor hadn't been given to us yet. The school system up there began to use it on the kids to work on their attention span, because UCSB the year earlier in 77, the University of California at Santa Barbara had warned them on students, and it raised the grade point average in the test class that we did. One time after a year of using them in 78, the Orcutt Union School, I get a call in the morning from Sky Lewis, who's a school teacher. And he's calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning, which I thought was unusual in itself. And he says, Fred, he says, we had an amazing thing happen here. We know it's the pyramid because it's been a month now. You know, and I said, what happened? He says, we had this little kid. His name was Stan Alms. He's 9 years old. He's dyslexic, and he also had grand mal seizures from birth. He usually has 2 seizures a day, sometimes 2 an hour, but usually 2 a day. And he was on his medicine, and nothing worked. He says he wore that pyramid. He wore the pyridome and the radome, which is 2 different types, for a month. After a month, he had no more seizures. And they said, this pyramid definitely is responsible for that. So they gave me a notarized testimonial. Same thing happened at Wilton School in 1980. You know, there they feed kids sugar. If you give kids sugar, they get hyperactive. So what do? They shoot them up with Ritalin. So we took the big pyramids that go over the bed, and we put one of those. We put actually a bunch of them. I work with a principal over there, and I got a picture of him here further down. We put that pyramid over the bed. There it is. And then we put it over their over their benches on one side of the school. And so we had the Ritalin kids that were hyperactive go across the schoolroom into the pyramids and work on a desk. I've got a bed there. We had a desk. And after a few days of that, the hyperactive kids were functioning fine. They didn't need the Ritalin anymore, to the point where they were taking them off of it. It was really fun. I says, well, why don't, I told the lady, the principal of the school, I says, why don't we tell the parents, you know, take them off sugar, because that's the real problem. She says, we can't. We can be arrested for this. I mean, you can't believe the laws in California. I don't know if they're like that up here or not. But you can't even tell the parents. You can't suggest nutritional changes. Another time, we were up in 1978. I spent 15 years with the National Health Federation. Some of you in here are probably familiar with it. We used to come here once in a while when we were a larger organization. I was up there at the Portland Hilton, actually down there. You know, I forgot I'm above Oregon here. I was at the Portland Hilton. And in those days, gold was $125 an ounce, so the stuff was cheaper then. You know, it's gone to $550, it's probably $370 or something now. So we have to adjust our prices on our, because everything has gold on it, you know. So, because gold is a healing energy, and we use 18 karat gold. We don't use, and mostly 24. This is solid 18, and then we use a lot of 24 karat. All the platings on the pyramids are 24. We had this lady, this cute little blonde was hanging out of their booth. In those days, for $39, or $40, $39.95, you'd get a pyridome, which is a calmer, fire dome, which stimulates the adrenals, because it's got a lot of copper on it, it's good for arthritis, and a radome, which is mental energy, stimulates the mind, which we used on Stan Alms. You get all 3 of them for $40. And she kept hovering around the booth. And then in those days, I had real short hair, a suit and a tie, and I looked real straight. And people didn't know, did they? But anyway, so I'm hovering around there. And about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I says to this lady, I says, you know, you keep going off and coming back and staring at my booth. I says, you come over here. I says, you need pyramids real bad. Because I just got this funny feeling, you know. And so she came over and she bought all 3 of the pyramids, and immediately she was gone. I never saw her again, ever, you know. And then about 3 months later, she had this thing come over from wearing these pyramids that she got, and she started writing these books, and her name is Jay-Z Knight. You might know who she is. Rampa came to her.
So here was an individual. Oh yeah, here was an individual that that really got a hit off of our pyramids. You know, went from housewife to preacher. You know, so it changed. I asked somebody about that. She said that he was locked up with that. You know, and this released her, and that, it does that to you because it causes hormonal changes. The ELF stuff that I'm talking about. Well, first of all, the pyramid that I just showed you. Let me go back. Let me backtrack a little bit here. This article, which is in here, this is about ELF, but this is another facet of it. What this article is basically saying is that in 1947, the Navy Homeotronic Laboratory in Cumberland Valley in Norfolk, Virginia, flew over the Cumberland Valley in Virginia, West Virginia, and they took pictures of crops that had insect blight. They were having locust problems in those days. They took the pictures of different farmers' area. Then they took the pictures back to the laboratory and a black box. They had the farmer come from each area. The farmer had to go into the laboratory to do this, and they had these black boxes. But they had to have the farmer that owned that land, not some other farmer. It had to be that farmer. They brought that farmer back in the land. They put the picture down in a black box of his crop with a locust in it, and then they threw in some insecticide in the black box every day. They had the farmer come and do that. And then the farmer got to take the box home and do it once he was trained. After 6 to 8 weeks, they destroyed all the bugs in the orchards in every single case. Okay, that's when T. Galen Hieronymus, a good friend of mine, who was one of my teachers who's now passed on, had it as a patent, issued it, numbers up there. It's in the millions, 3 million something. And that was radionics being expressed with scalar wave technology on the physical plane. And so from that, the Pleiadians taught us the black boxes, and they gave us devices. This device right here is one of the devices that we use. It's Pleiadian in its origin. It's a very inexpensive device. It's a star orb. And what it does, it gets rid of ELF frequencies inside your house. And it's, now I'll tell you, there's a lot of devices around on the market that claim to do things that don't. There's a lot of devices on the market that claim to do what these do, but don't. We have a track record. And if you look at the design of this thing and understand how energy works, you can, let me just show you something, for example. Let me have that pyramid again. Okay? And you can just come up for a second. I just want to show you something. Yeah, just do a quick muscle test. Okay? Just put your arm out. That one's fine. Make a fist. Not the other way. Resist. Okay. Pyramid on. Resist. Male energy. Female energy. Pyramid upside down. Nothing. Okay. You're strong again. Resist. You feel the difference when I flip it over? That, when you flip the pyramid over, what happens is it reduces the bottom side. It's a female energy. This is a male energy. It's polarizing that. This, what we were doing here, is polarized, believe it or not. And because of the energy of female energy, see, the whole Earth's aura field is a male energy. It's polarized in a male energy field, okay? First ray, second ray, not third ray, fifth ray, more fourth ray, fifth ray, seventh ray. A little old third ray in the middle hits the cell, so everybody's low in green. Green's female. Female relates to consciousness as intellect. Everybody thinks intellect comes from men. It comes from the female energy. So it's upside down. So you got to compensate for it. If you look at the receptor, it's got pyramids that are right side up. It's got pyramids that are upside down. That energy comes to a point on the receptor right where the stone is. The energy from that, so that's a positive energy that you can handle, and the negative energy that you can't handle is equal amounts on this disc. It comes to a point, that little, if you have this imaginary line, this imaginary line of a positive pyramid here, a negative pyramid here, that comes to a point right here. And I don't know if I don't have the slides, I got the slides, but you can actually see that and photograph that energy. We have a device further down here. It's a larger scale device. It's called an irradiator. We use these in our systems. And this is a giant, like a giant receptor here. And the energy comes to a point right here and neutralizes. And so this energy, which is radionic energy, is coming to a point. We put a gemstone here and send it back this way through this hole in the back of the receptor. And then there's this pattern around here, okay, which is called a Yanan Mantran. If you look at it up close, you can see it. That energy then comes back. Now, remember, we showed you how the aura field is working on a human, okay? And the aura field on a human, we showed you how it's generated, has all those colors in it, okay? Now, what happens is, and let's say we're treating that person with homeopathic medicine. How many of you in here have some background or understanding, a little bit of knowledge of homeopathic medicine? Then most of you know that if you have a 10x solution in homeopathic medicine, you have a solution, let's say it's 100 milliliters of something, okay? And in there, you have a tenth of some poison. You put a tenth of some poison in there because light cures light. So you got a little, you got a tenth in there. Now, if we go to 1,000 times power, we increase the solution to 1,000, we have a 100 milliliter solution, we've only got a 0.1 amount of that poison in there. We haven't increased the amount of the poison or the solution in here to make this thing work. We've decreased it. And if we got 10,000, there's just a trace of it in there. So the water obviously would have to be pure, or if we used alcohol, it would have to be pure. Same thing here with the stone. The stone, we use pure stones. We use synthetic, which are laboratory growing, for a certain frequency of individual. We use natural for another frequency of individual. Depends on your frequency, which one we're going to use. And what we're doing with the receptor, we're dealing with this whole thing. This whole aura structure is made up of what? Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. The carbon atom, we talked about that. The whole structure. And what happens is, the whole structure is based on oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon. The hydrogen atom we're dealing with now, if that hydrogen atom is askew in any way, that person is askew in their frequency. And everybody is. So you muscle test to find out what color, and in the case of, say, blue for the heart, we put the perfect sapphire out there, we shoot one line of force, just one line of force of the aura field, just one little line. And it comes back and immediately gets induced right to the core that sucks it right in those hydrogen atoms, and boom, suddenly, in 10 seconds, that whole aura field, boom, blue is now stable. It's what it should be. Before it was drifting, now it's stable. Now that person won't produce free radicals quite as easily until maybe they wear the thing for a year or so and then they go to green. Maybe they'll go to violet. By the time they get to violet, there's no free radical damage. The body has changed in 3 years. But that's how it works. That's how this technology works. And we do it on a mini scale, or we do it on a giant scale. In giant scale, you start sucking the environment in. Okay, now let me get my slide projector here. Oh, I wanted to show you one other thing real quick, and I want to answer her question about Andromeda. I'm getting ahead of myself. The anti-ELF device at Star Orb that we showed, here's a typical installation. How many of you have heard something?
Well, we'll continue that next week. That sounds like a good one. Thanks for listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show.